shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the latest news involving Orlando Brown and Frank Clark. But first, Joe, I'm editing Christian Okoye's autobiography. We had him on the show and teased his book, and I'm sure we'll have him on again in the fall when the book is published. Anyhow, I wanted to share a nugget that you may or may not already know, just because since you were somebody who was endorsed by Reebok when you're playing, wore the pumps, I'm sure you remember the Dan versus Dave campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
The two decathletes.
Yeah, well, great Netflix series on that. There's a great, or I don't know if it was Netflix, but there's a great series on that mini or podcast. It might have been a podcast, but yeah, anyway.
Well, so it's even more timely then. Well, so Dave Johnson, the decathlete, actually went to Azusa Pacific, Okoye's college, and he was actually a football player, safety, and mm-hmm. he went to tackle Okoye. Okoye sent him flying on, like, the collision, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to stick with track. Had you heard that story? That was great.
I did not know that. I did know that based on this podcast I had listened to about them. It was a visual video series. I remember now where they kind of went through that whole deal, because that was a time when the decathlon was huge. Yo, I mean, so yeah, so I knew that they had gone to the same school, but I had no idea that they played together and that Christian kind of sent him, basically gave him his decathlete career. So
probably for the best, considering he was a pretty good decathlete. But yeah, that's it all comes full circle. You've seen the recent doc on it, and plus, like, you were a Reebok, you had the pumps, right?
That was We had the pumps, we had the Reebok gloves, we had everything. So yeah, I remember those pumps. Boy, they were something else. That was kind of cutting edge at the time, because we were pumping our helmets while we were pumping our shoes. So getting our helmets to fit better. But I mean, it was a good concept, right? To get to fill in all the cracks of your feet and kind of get everything in there. But yeah, Reebok, Christian was a big Reebok guy.
Well, Chiefs fans are still very pumped about the Super Bowl 57 win. Yes, I went there, a very lame segue, but we're moving the pod along.
Yeah.
But the team next year could potentially look different with some news coming out that it sounds like they're not going to tag Orlando Brown and that they're going to release Frank Clark. But Joe, I think it's actually smart on both counts. I wrote for Forbes how Frank Clark was due a $29 million cap hit. And that's the third, that would have been the third highest for a defensive end in the NFL. And he's been great in the playoffs. Third all time in postseason sacks. But in the regular season, he's never had a double digit sack season for Kansas City. He didn't even have more than five either the last two seasons. So I think just, you know, Patrick Mahomes is making, he's going to count almost $50 million against the cap this year. And obviously money well spent. But yeah. I think you have to be a little judicious. I think these are both Clark and Brown good players, but not necessarily great players who can shell out that kind of money to. Joe, do you agree? I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I'll start. Let's start with Orlando. We talked about him all season. I mean, yeah, he stepped up towards the end of the year, and you know, definitely, obviously, in the Super Bowl. You know, whether you want to use the field, people want to use the field as an excuse or whatever, that the Eagles couldn't get their rush going because of the field conditions or whatnot. I mean, I don't want to give them that much credit. But, you know, Orlando did his job in the playoffs, but during the season, you know, I was worried. I was worried he was hurt. I was worried he was dinged up. We talked about it with Blair Kirchhoff. I mean, I think Blair kind of agreed. I mean, there was a lot of talk and speculation on how effective he was going to be all season. And again, whether it was something that was nagging him or keeping his feet, what looked like was in cement. He just, you know, I don't think he was that effective. And then you know, on the other side of the ball, you know, Frank Clark, I mean, he's definitely not a Derek Thomas presence for sure. I mean, yeah, he has the stats to go with it for the playoff runs. But again, I'm just saying exactly what you said, Jeff, and I'm totally agreeing with you that these are two good moves for them to see what can happen. And if somebody wants to come all along and offer Orlando Brown $25 million, then I think it'll be, hey, thanks for all you've done. Here's, Super Bowl ring, and we'll catch you later. Because, I don't think that they would get their bang for their buck out of something like that if it escalated. Now, if they wanted to lock him up for a long-term deal and they can play around with cap money, certainly I think he'd be worth having, right? Because a proven left tackle is a proven left tackle, right? I mean, you need it. But I think they can get something for a little bit more for their value if it does escalate to the point where he becomes, too expensive. On the other side with Frank, I think it's kind of the same argument, I mean, it's not the day-to-day effectiveness that you're going to get out of a cap hit like that. And I think they can go out in the draft and find somebody, make a big free agent move, look for someone that can be effective and get a rotation going with the pass rush.
This is also a draft that one of the strengths is edge rusher. So it'll be interesting to see if that's how they try and place Clark. It could potentially be, again, I think these are the right moves. It could, George Karloftis had a really promising rookie year. It would be a little bit scary if we do end up with a rookie and a second year guy as our two edge guy. Whatever they did with they won a Super Bowl with a completely young all rookies all over the place in the secondary. So, who am I to doubt this? But that is one, again, I like the moves, but that's something interesting to watch.
Yeah, if there's a Derek Thomas out there, not that, I mean, they broke the mold when they made Derek, so I don't know if someone like that's out there, but if they could come up with the goods through the draft or through free agency with someone like that could complement, Karloftis. I mean, look at Neal Smith and Derek. They started out both relatively young together, built that into probably one of the best defensive end tandems in the NFL. Maybe I don't I mean maybe over exaggerating, but NFL history, or at least AFC history, right? When you look at what Neal Smith and Derek Thomas were able to do from a sack and pressure perspective, because when they were double teaming Neal, they were singling up Derek, and vice versa. When they were doubling Derek, they were singling Neal, and each of them really knew how to make very effective use of the singles, single blocks. So, maybe they could do something like that, build the next Derek Thomas, Neal Smith duo.
Speaking of pass rush, Joe, you mentioned something a bit ago about that I had been meaning to ask you about. Of course, Orlando Brown and the Chiefs offensive lineman and the rest of the Chiefs offensive line were awesome in Super Bowl 57, did allow a sack. And obviously the turf was not in good shape there at State Farm Stadium. Lots been made out of that. Hey, it both teams had to play on it. They knew that going in, the turf wouldn't be in great shape. That was a talking point throughout the week. But Joe, I just wanted to get your opinion as a former player. How much of an impact do you think that had, and what kind of experience? I'm sure you've had situations where it's been less than ideal field conditions. Tell the listeners what that's like, if that helps or doesn't help offensive linemen.
Oh, it totally helps offensive linemen. I mean, I'm not saying that both teams didn't have to play on it, which, they did, right? So it's not as if one team was getting an advantage. Like
Totally.
it wasn't like the Chiefs when they were on defense were playing on AstroTurf, right? Like
Right.
which is a lot faster for a rusher. I mean, that's why I think Derek Thomas really gained so much momentum with his career, was starting on AstroTurf, because it's all in that first step. It's in that first and second step. If you can get off and beat the offensive lineman to the punch, you're going to have an advantage, especially when it's a little loud and you can't hear. And I'm not saying that Super Bowls are super loud venues, but still, nonetheless, I mean, it just slows you down as a speed rusher and as a pass rusher if you can't make the moves that you need to make, because there's only so much you can do with power. Right. And if you're using speed as your sort of main strength of your pass rush, those first two steps are critical. And you saw a lot of times, guys were like Hassan Reddick was slipping. I mean, his feet were coming out from under him, and that totally helps an offensive lineman, because as an offensive lineman, your base is always there, right? You got to keep a strong base. You keep your legs spread out. You're keeping your body. You don't have to move that far. If you think about like offensive lineman, it's centimeters that you're like shuffling. It's like boom, 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 boom with your feet. You're trying to get, you're like a sprinter, you know, when you're like Usain Bolt, when you're trying to rush around the corner, you're trying to gain ground when you're pass rushing. But offensive linemen are like very steady and methodical. It's small little steps. And field conditions really to offensive linemen don't really matter. You know, sometimes if it's a little slippery, you're going to want to put on some like deep, like, you know, 1 inch screw-in cleats if you really need to drive block and push. Sometimes if you're pass blocking and you're getting bull rushed and you want to dig your feet into the ground, you don't want to be slipping and sliding. But other than that, you know, the advantage absolutely goes to the offense when the field conditions are bad, especially as it relates to pass protection.
Do you, Joe, do you remember a game he played in that had kind of sloppy field conditions like that?
Yeah, I mean, we played. I remember we played the Browns at home, and I think we got. I want to say, I think. Well, number one, I think we punted like 13 times because I was long snapping at the time. So I remember snapping the ball 13 times. It was a record for me for long snaps in a game.
You had a busy day.
And I remember the rain that just kept coming down and coming down and coming down, and it just made the field get worse and worse and worse. And you know, you'd find yourself, you know, at halftime, you know, changing your cleats, right? I mean, I think, listen, I got to give Alan Wright and his equipment staff, you know, and what Alan learned from one of our great guests, Mike Davidson, you know, what they learned about the proper shoes. And Marty was a stickler for that. And I'm assuming that, you know, Alan Wright, as the head equipment manager now, has kept that philosophy going through these different regimes of coaches, is how important it is. And I've heard that, you know, Alan had multiple shoes and cleat arrangements ready for the players in the Super Bowl, and it's probably why the Chiefs didn't have as much of a problem as the Eagles, because, you know, you want to make sure you have a shark bottom, which is like a rubber, you know, like a rubber bottom. You want to make sure that that you have your half inch screw in cleats, your 1 inch screw in cleats when it gets really muddy and you need to get under that grass and really dig in when it's soft. So yeah, you proper footwear is essential in the game of football for every position. Probably some more than others, but it's essential for every single position if you're going to be effective out there.
Great stuff there, Joe. Well, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, with the tournament coming up, to the UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores from almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, back to Orlando Brown a little bit. And he did get better as the season progressed, especially that Super Bowl. We talked about the turf, but I don't care what kind of turf. Zero sacks, especially when Patrick Mahomes was still limited by that ankle, and that was such an important, going to be such a determining factor in the outcome. But he did it, so he had a really good playoff run. You know, this one of the stories of the playoffs, of course, we just mentioned the Mahomes injury. He was injured against the Jaguars on an Arden Key hit, a Jacksonville Jaguars player. It looked to me like Brown was kind of the culprit for that he allowed that rush. So there, again, I think Brown is a good player, but I don't think right now the franchise tag for offensive tackle is like 20 million. That's a lot, you know, that's a lot of money for him. I think that's my take on this.
No, I couldn't agree more, Jeff. You know, there's a million cliches that are popping into my head right now. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Ben, you know, cost benefit analysis, right? Like, there's just so many things. We do it every day in our lives, right? We decide what kind of cars we want to drive, where we want to eat. If you want to go out to a restaurant, you know, where are you going to get the most bang for your buck? Or is another cliche, right? And I just think right now, given what they went through with this season and where they're looking at for next season, they're going to have to make some tough decisions about cost benefit analysis and whether or not Orlando Brown brought more benefit for what the cost would be. Or even, look, I'm not saying that even if they went out and got somebody that was better than Orlando Brown, that's going to be hard to do. I'm
Right,
going to give Orlando
right.
Brown some
Yeah,
credit. Let's give him
absolutely.
some credit. He's a seasoned veteran. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's got championship DNA. He's got, you know, pedigree from his dad playing in the NFL. Like he's the real deal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disparaging or being critical of Orlando Brown in that sense. I think what it really comes down to is, could they get more from some more out of the dollars that they would have spent, even if they get somebody that's worse than Orlando Brown, right? They might, but and at what percentage, right? Is this player that they get to replace him at left tackle, if he's 10% worse than Orlando Brown, is it worth having $10 to $15 million to spend somewhere else?
Right.
So, you know, that's what Brett Veach is going to have to do. That's why GMs get paid the big bucks.
Totally agree. And I think absolutely they will find probably the player who replaces Brown probably will be worse, but I think it's gonna be a wise decision. It's interesting. The Chiefs are right now, one challenge they'll have is all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes' money is counting a little bit more against the cap. It really started to escalate, but yeah, hey, that's a good problem to have,
Yeah.
that you've got to pay a great player by Mahomes. But it's going to be interesting to make these. They're going to have to make some of these tough decisions. And for like Frank Clark, the same, that I thought he was a good player. He was so key. I mean, against the he had 1.5 sacks against the Bengals. The story of that game was the Chiefs pass rush just dominating the Bengals front. And Frank Clark was a huge part of that. He on the first quarter, he just set the tone against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So they're going to miss that. Joey, it's also interesting. When I was first looking at the Chiefs, so much talk on the draft and Kansas City and stuff, I'm like, wow, the Chiefs have such a complete team. They don't have a whole lot of needs. Like, what, maybe another receiver, but like they're really, I think, the most complete team in the NFL. Now you look at it and obviously, free agency, they might fill some of these needs. Now you have two really real big needs, offensive tackle and defensive end. They'll miss Clark and Carlos Dunlap, who's kind of a longtime vet. He could potentially retire. So now I'm seeing two pressing needs, which may or may not be filled before the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, just look at, you know, anybody could Google, you know, Chiefs free agents for 2023, and you know, it's a pretty interesting list. I'm you know, I'd like to go back and look at year by year. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but you know, I'd like to go back and I'm curious to go back years and say, have we really had a free agent, you know, could it be a free agent, you know, bust out like this than we've ever seen before, right? Of course, the two huge numbers, right, with Clark and Brown, like with, I think it's like 16 and $15 million, right? 16 for Orlando and 15 million for Frank Clark, right? And then, but then the next one down is Juju Smith-Schuster, which is like 3.7. When you look at what their like value is to the team, as far as like, I guess, a salary, you know, or whatever market value, and then that's it. So there's a $12 million drop, but there's a lot of players in that middle. When you just start listing off the names, Juju, Carlos, Derek Nnadi, Andrew Wiley could be another hole at you know.
Right.
Listen, a spe now here's my, you know, Ronald Jones, you know, Blake Bell, Mecole Hardman. I mean, my God, Thornhill, Justin Watson, Tommy Townsend, Kalen Saunders. I mean, it's crazy. Joe Fortson, you know, Nick Allegretti, right? A name we talk about a lot as a he's I Nick's the guy that I'm most fearful that's going to leave. I think he's going to get a really, really nice deal from somebody, and he's not going to be able to turn it down, you know?
I think so too, Joe, because I think I mean, he started for the Chiefs. I think he's a starter caliber. I think he's, if I'm a team, I don't know, like the Bears with a lot of cap room and a bad offensive line, I sign him, plug him in, and I think he could be a longtime starter for that team or somewhere
Yeah.
else.
So think about it this way. Once a player gets a ring, now obviously I never had a chance to win one, so I don't know how that feels, but I would imagine that once you get a ring, as much as you might love a city, the same way that Jen and I love Kansas City living there, you know, you know, the money talks, and if somebody comes after any of the players that I just rattled through, which I didn't even name them all, you know, they've already got a Super Bowl ring, you know, maybe two. Some of them have two, and they're thinking, man, now I get a chance to, you know, I can always, I'll always have that Super Bowl ring. I'll always have my time in Kansas City playing with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and two great first ballot Hall of Famers, and you know, I had opportunity to be with them and do the things and play for Andy Reid. Now I'm going to go take care of my future and provide make some generational wealth money, right? Where they go out and they take a $5, $6 million deal that's irresponsible money that somebody offers a player like that because they have a need to fill, like a Nick Allegretti, right? Like they have a Andrew Wiley, right? Somebody could see what he did in the Super Bowl and offer him just ridiculous money that he, as much as he loves Kansas City and he's kind of grown up here, you know, with this team, he might go somewhere, right? He's got the rings. He's got the starting, you know, cachet. He played in a great city, you know, all those things that I mentioned. And then I just hope it doesn't create too much for this team, and that we at least have some semblance of the crew that won us the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Joe, piggybacking on that, Blair Kirchhoff, the Kansas City Star sports writer, when he was on our pod last week, made a good point along the same lines of what you're saying now, is that he thinks, you know, next year, this isn't going to be, 2023 is not going to be a run it back season like we had, where we had basically the whole team back. It's going to be a different set of players. Now, I still really like the Chiefs' chances. They're going to have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones. And that rookie class that did so well should be more experienced and even better. But we're going to be seeing a different team next year for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not a run it back for sure. And you know, we saw what that did. That didn't really get us the next ring. So, you know, maybe that's okay.
Maybe totally okay. And Joe, we have one important topic to discuss here. Travis Kelce is one of the guys who will be, of course, when the holdovers, when the mainstays of the team in 2023, despite some change around him. He was on Saturday Night Live, Joe. What did you think of his performance there?
You know, Saturday Night Live always does a great job of bringing in the latest in pop culture into our homes, right? Which was cool, right? And you know, seeing Travis up there brings me back to seeing other athletes that have done it, just to name a few. You know, when Joe Montana did Saturday
Yeah.
Night Live,
He's great.
Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning had some unbelievably funny skits. You know, and you think about the players, just those are just to name a few that have been on. You know, it's always awesome to see them out of their football character and into like a Hollywood character. And that's what made me most happy, was he went up there and he absolutely did his thing. I thought he was natural. You know, he does such a great job with the podcast, and you know, he's just such a character. He was honest, he was real, and I thought he did a great job of weaving it in. And of course, his brother Jason was a great sport for, you know, in the opening monologue, sitting there like all sullen, right, after Travis was celebrating the Super Bowl win. I thought that was pretty good.
He was good. He was in a skit too. I encourage fans. So I thought Kelce was really good. I thought some of the skits he was in were a little bizarre and out there. You know, all of a sudden, some a bit of a creep factor. But I thought he was often the best part of these skits. And I encourage fans of Kelce and listeners here to go out and check out Saturday Night Live on Twitter. There is a clip. I thought the best skit he was in didn't make the cut, and Creed Humphrey is actually in this clip too. It's kind of poking fun at a United Way thing, and anyhow, just check it out. It's worth watching if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, definitely. He's, you know, he's a riot. I mean, you know, Travis is funny, and he does such a great job with his brother in the podcast. So yeah, I thought he was a natural. I mean, it was funny that Kelce Ballerini was, you know, Kelce. I know they made that joke in one of the promos, and you know, if they got married, she'd be Kelce. And which is funny because I had just seen Kelce Ballerini at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville not too long ago, which was funny because it was kind of like all these worlds were colliding
Yeah,
for me. Like I had just
yeah.
seen her in concert, and then Travis Kelce with the Super Bowl. So it was kind of fun to see them out there together.
Did you have a favorite skit that Kelce was in?
I mean, you're right. He was great in all of them. I got to be honest. I kind of just liked his opening monologue. I just thought,
Yeah, that
you
was
know,
good with
I just thought
Jason
he
Momoa.
did a good job. He was pretty natural. You could tell he wasn't reading too much. He had taken the time to kind of memorize some of the lines. I mean, some of the non-actor or actress hosts, sometimes you can tell that they're like, you know, they've never done like live TV before like that, and you could tell they're reading the cue cards and whatnot. Yeah, and I gotta agree with you. I thought my favorite too was, if I'm looking at the favorite other than the monologue, was definitely the you know, the one that got cut, that didn't make the cutting room floor, with Creed Humphrey, because that just, I love those ones that play on the United Way. Like it
The
always,
Manning one, like the
it made me
Manning
think of the
one. Yeah,
Manning one,
yeah.
where he's throwing the ball at the little kids and knocking them over, and sends the one kid into the outhouse, you know, into the porta potty. Like, it just, you know, because you see these players get out of their character a little bit, and it's like, you know, it kind of, it's a little bit of a shock factor. But Saturday Night Live always has been like that, right? They've, some skits are just so bizarre that they're going for the shock factor, and you're like, what just happened? What did I just watch? But because my favorite part of Saturday Night Live, not to go off on a tangent or like a Joe tangent, but my favorite part of Saturday Night Live is generally the weekend update, and any fake commercials that they do. Like, that's always been the formula that I've always liked. I've always loved the fake commercials and anything, because you're like, wait, was that a real commercial? And like, no, that was Saturday Night Live. And I always like Weekend Update, because it pulls in, you know, it pulls in the news of the day and what's going on in the world, and kind of makes light of it. And so those always been so, but the skits, yeah, they've always been, you know, you can either love them or you can be like, what just happened?
You mentioned those commercials, and yeah, I had recorded it. So when I was fast forwarding it was tough. I had to keep pausing. I'm like, wait, is this an ad or is this
Right.
a fake ad? I really liked both the American Girl that skit, and also the one that the straight best friend. I thought those were
Yeah,
two of
yeah,
my
yeah.
favorites. And it's funny for me, Joe, another part of that opener, which you mentioned being your favorite, was really good. Was it's cool to see his parents were there. Donna Kelsey, his mom, has become the superstar. She was sitting next to Goodell for the Super Bowl. She was there on media night. She was introduced. And Joe, I ran into her twice during Super Bowl week, once while getting a credential, and then I saw her at this Planters Peanuts party. So I finally, like I said, you know what? Travis has been so nice for all his interviews and stuff. And then I saw her again, and it almost felt weird that I was like, I'm not stalking you. I was just coming to say
Right.
hi again. But I
That could have
think
been a
again,
skit. That could have been a skit. You should
yeah,
have
that
written
should have
that
been a
into
skit,
Lorne
right?
Michaels of Saturday Night Live. You could have made the, you know.
But I think she had so much attention that she probably has forgotten about me. I think she's got other things. Joe, my one last note about SNL. I was hoping they were going to do like. The skit we liked that they did make the show, it touched on football. I was hoping they were going to do some sort of like more football related skit, like I was hoping
Yeah.
something in there. So.
Yeah. But he, you know, it was great, like I said earlier, to see Jason and them yucking it up a little bit. And you know, he, you know, and then when his imitation of Patrick Mahomes, that's why I kind of like the
Oh, that's
monologue, right? It
right.
was
That
like,
was great.
I just thought that was great. We were cracking up at that one, because, you know, that was spot on. And, you know, it shows that they have such a good friendship. They can make fun of each other and, you know, have a good laugh at each other's expense. So, yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if somebody like a Patrick Mahomes would ever go on and host, because we know some other quarterbacks and, you know, superstars like that have. I don't know if that's kind of in Patrick's purview, if it's something that would ever, because he does, you know, obviously he does a great job on those State Farm
Commercials,
commercials, right? With the I love the one with the bath bombs
yeah.
and the jazz bath that he does with the trainer that comes out, you know, when he's talking to his State Farm agent. But so I
Yeah,
could maybe
he
see,
gave
I
us
could
that
maybe,
too.
yeah, I could, yeah, exactly. I could see Patrick doing Saturday Night Live at some point in his career. Definitely could see Andy Reid doing it. I think Andy, he's a, I think Andy's a closet kind of performer. Like, I think he's probably really, really funny in his quiet moments. You know, I know he tries to keep the Andy the cool, But he's inside. He's like a closet comedian. I think he is, at least.
I think the thing with Reed is he's such a workaholic that, he couldn't have been on this last week because there's comp, but he has like 2 weeks of the year he takes off. I'm not sure he'll spend it filming, but you would think Mahomes would be the next candidate to follow. Like you said, the Manning brothers have both been on individually, Montana. So you think he'd hopefully we'll get to see him on SNL soon. Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.